Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Welcome to all of you today. If you are a guest with us, hope you'll find a guest registration card, fill that out. And at the very conclusion of this worship time today, we will take our morning offering. And we'd ask you to drop that in the offering plate along with those that give their offering today. This is Lord's Supper service this morning, and so our service is a little different, and we'll preach up front and then allow the elements to make its proclamation unto us today. I want to begin with an exposition of 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23 and reading through verse 26, and set the stage for this worship time together. We will, in a few moments, gather around this table. We will do what the choir has been singing. This do in remembrance of me. We will remember the works of his hands. Now on this Sunday morning when we gather around this table and pass out the bread, symbolic of the broken body of our Lord, when we pass the cup with what Scripture calls the fruit of the vine. Nowhere in Scripture, in the four times, I'm going to read it all to you this morning, the four times that the Word of God speaks about the Lord's Supper, the word wine is never used. It's always the cup or the fruit of the vine. So the bread, the fruit of the vine being the blood of the Lord Jesus. And if today Jesus is your Savior, if He is your Lord, we invite you to take that piece of bread and that cup and remember what He did for you and take it with all of us. If you're here this morning as our guest and you're not a follower of Christ, you do not believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, but you're here as a guest and just come to church, come to worship, but you're not an adherent. You're not a follower of Christ at this time in your life. You'd say, well, I would not believe that. Then you can just allow that tray to pass you. You do not have to participate. But if you are a follower of Christ, then we invite you to partake with us the Lord's Supper. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, where Paul says these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Notice that he said that in the night our Lord took the bread and the cup. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this instance. So take your Bible while leaving your finger at 1 Corinthians and go to Matthew chapter 26. And let's see it in Matthew, then in Mark, and then in Luke. In Matthew 26, we read it beginning in verse 26. Matthew 26:26. Matthew records and says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had given a cup, he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Mark records it in Mark 14. Just turn there a few pages to the right. In Mark 14, in verse 22. Mark records it this way. Mark 14:22. And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood in the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And then Luke records it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And we'll read there just quickly in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. Luke 22 and verse 19. Now this time, as you see the words, read them out loud at once together with me in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. Let's read aloud. "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" You notice every time, from Paul in 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they everyone speak of the bread, the cup, and in remembrance, in remembrance, in remembrance, in remembrance. There are some things today we dare not forget. Remember. What is it we are to remember this morning? Four things I want you to see with me as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Number one, as you come to this table, number one, remember the cross of Jesus. We will take the bread. It's unleavened bread. If most young people would look at it today and say, "Well, that's a cracker." Well, it's bread. It just doesn't have any yeast in it. One young boy came by this morning. He looked at me and he said, "Pastor, in those round things, that's the bread." I said, "Yes, sir, it is." He said, "That's for the body of Christ, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Rather than making it square, we should make it like a heart." He says, "The love of God." I said, "Well, really, it's the body of Christ. Maybe we ought to make it, cut it out like a little man." It matters not the shape. This is the great drama. This is the great testimony. It is the symbol of Christ. But always the bread is unleavened. Why? Because leaven is the sign for sin. And the sin has been taken out. There was never any sin in Christ. He is perfect. There was no leaven in him. There was no sin in him. He was the sinless Savior of the world. And when you take that unleavened piece of bread today, and when you put it in your mouth, you remember the cross where the sinless Savior suffered and died for you. But not only will we pass the bread, we'll pass the cup, the fruit of the vine. You only get this juice, the fruit of the vine, when you crush the grape. Jesus was crushed for us. He was broken for us. You know, God loves broken things. He takes broken things and uses them. When a little boy came with five loaves and two fish, Jesus broke it and fed 5,000. When a woman came with an alabaster vial of ointment, Jesus broke it, and they broke it and poured out the oil from that alabaster box. You see, broken things can be used of the Lord, like you, if you're broken and spilled out before him. That's what Jesus did there on the cross. He was broken and spilled out for us. Never, ever forget the cross. This week, we've had some electrical issues in the building, our lighting system, and then the parking lot lights, and then Wednesday night, the lights went out on the cross on the top of this building. And I called the maintenance folks, and I said, well, our choir's going to get out, and they need to have the lights on in the parking lot for safety issues after dark. Leo keeps them to 9, 10, 11 o'clock. It's late when they get out. But I said, if we can, let's try to get the lights back on the cross. Now, it's not essential that we illuminate this iron cross. It's good, but let me tell you, friend, never, ever let the light go out on the cross in your heart and life. Always illuminate the cross. It is there you find your eternal life. Remember the cross of Jesus. Number two, this text teaches us that we must remember the church of Jesus. Verse 18 says that when you come together, in verse 11, when you come together as a church, he said, I hear that there is division among you. He said it ought not be that way. We ought to be one together in Christ. Hear me today, body of Christ. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, we take this all together. We will pass the elements. I will ask you to hold it, and then I will say, take and eat all of it. And we eat it together in unison in one. Why do we do that? To show the unity of the faith. You take it by yourself because you must be saved one-on-one. You don't get saved in a group. But when we come together, save people, we take it together to show the unity of the faith. We must forever guard the unity of a place called Olive Baptist Church. We keep truth out front, but we hide our own ways in order that the body of Christ might be knit together as one. Some of you are here today, and in the invitation time, you've never joined a church. You ought to join this church today. You ought to come be a part of the body of Christ. Some of you are a part of the body of Christ today, and you've been aloof from it, away from it, and you need to come home unto it today, and you should repent and come home to the body of Christ. Never forget today when we gather around this table, never forget the cross, but friend, never forget the church of Jesus. It's important. There's a lot of people that just say, well, you know, I don't need the church, and I go over here and sit on the riverbank and do whatever. Amen. We know the Lord one-on-one, but we need the body of Christ. This morning, we always have at 8:30 a meeting, most all the time up here, the platform folks and some of the people that are playing instruments and the sound. So we know what we're doing. We try to plan and last-minute changes, and our pastor is apt to make one from time to time. And We make that change so everybody knows what we're doing. And then we'll have a prayer time. And I don't know when we've had a sweeter prayer time than we did this morning, Dr. Day. A great times we came together, people just sharing their heart. And I shared with a group. I said, you know, this is not the whole church, but it's like the body of... That's why you ought to be in a small group Sunday school class so that when you get something going on in your life, people can get around you and they can pray for you and encourage you and know your name. It's the body of Christ. We were like the body of Christ here this morning, loving on each other, praying for each other, interceding for what. Never forget the cross of Christ. Never forget the church of Jesus. Number three, this text teaches us that we must remember the coming of Jesus. Amen. You take this and show the Lord's death, verse 26, until he comes again. Now, don't forget today, friend, when you take this, Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon. I don't know. It could be soon. Jesus is coming. And when you take the Lord's Supper, you show his gospel until he comes again. Jesus has already been here once. The first time he came to a manger. But the second time he comes, he's coming to a throne. The first time he came to serve, but I'm telling you, the second time he comes, he's coming to reign. The first time he came, he stood before Pilate, but let me tell you, the next time he comes, Pilate will stand before him. He is coming again. Never forget that Jesus, who came to the manger, died on the cross, rules and reigns even today at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again. The Lord's Supper points back to the cross, but it points yonder to the clouds and says, Jesus is coming again. Remember the cross. Remember the church. Remember the coming. And number four, remember the commission of Jesus. As long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, verse 26 says, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim his death. Our commission is to tell the gospel. We're to go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to know today that a man may go to hell unsaved. He will go to hell unsaved. But a man will never go to hell unloved. Jesus loves you, my friend. No matter who you are or what you've done, Jesus loves you. And he has put a cross between you and hell, and you will have to crawl over the cross to go to hell. He loves you. And that is our gospel message that we are to give out to the world. We have two ordinances in the Baptist church. There are two ordinances in the New Testament church. One we will partake of in a moment. It is called the Lord's Supper. The bread and the cup. The second ordinance, we go and make disciples and we baptize them. Right up there. We baptize them. Sometimes we do it there. Sometimes we do it in the ocean. Sometimes we do it in a pool. Sometimes we do it in a lake. But we find man in water and we place him under the water. Symbolic that Jesus died for us and was buried. And we raise him out of the water, showing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are simple pictures, but we do them most every Sunday. The Lord's Supper and the ordinance of baptism. Have you ever been saved? Take me to a time and tell me of a place when you've trusted Christ. Have you after that been baptized, lowered into the water, then out of the water? We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Then I'll give an invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus, I want you to do it today. If you've never been baptized, I want you to come and let's set a time tonight, the following Sunday night, for you to be baptized. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. This is a table of examination. Everybody ought to, you get a certain age, take a physical every year. You go to the doctor and they examine you. They'll teach you some things you can do as a self-examination, things to check, to go in and say to the doctor, I'm having this issue or another. If we need look after our physical body, how much more should we look after our spirit? That's why we do this. Let a man examine. And everyone will say, oh, preacher, I don't feel like I'm worthy. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. You're not. No man's worthy to come to this table. I'm not worthy. I'm certainly not worthy to serve or partake. But let me tell you, I am made worthily in the Lord Jesus. For he substitutes himself for me before the Father. I am made worthy by the very blood that this cup represents. But when I find myself straying from God, I need to come home unto him. I was in Memphis this week, If you're ever in Memphis, go to the Rendezvous and eat. Lord, have mercy. Now carry a gun, but go to the Rendezvous and eat. Oh my. It's down a little alley downtown. I was there preaching to young preachers. And one of them asked me, what do you do in preparation just before you go out to preach? What's the last thing you do? I said, well, I have a little worship service. Examine my own heart. It's what I want you to do before you come to this table today. I've shared this with you before, but I do this every Sunday. I did it this morning in quietness of my own office. Lift my hands to the Father. Lord, thank you. Praise your name. Boy, I'd already been over here in this great prayer meeting with these. I just praised him for what I sensed was going on in this room today. Then I put my hands out to the side and say, Lord, I'm dead to myself. I'm going to be crucified, crucified. Lord, I crucify myself. I die to my agenda. I die to what I've prepared. Lord, I just die to me. Lord, not me live, but you live. God, take over. Get me out of the way. And I lift my hands this way and say, oh, Spirit of God, 1 John 2:20 and 2:27, I receive the unction. You've promised that there's an anointing and a filling. And so, Lord, fill me and come in me and live through me. And, Lord, if there's anything in the way to keep me from being filled, oh, God, show it to me so I might confess it this moment and be clean before I walk before my people and your church. Examination. Examination. The last time I had surgery, I walked in and the doc looked at me and he said, well, we're ready. Are you ready? I said, well, I don't know. I said, did you get a good night's rest? And then he looked at me, one of the folks did. I mean, they said, just hop up on the table and we'll get with it. Hop up on the table. They said, just hop up on the table and we'll get with it. I thought, if I could change, I'd change doctors right now, I would. When you come here, the Lord says, hop up on a table. Examine yourself. And see that you are found in the faith. You say, preacher, I'm not. Well, let me tell you, the great physician is in the house. If you need healing, call on him. You need your sin abated. Call on him. You need a fresh touch. Call on him. I want us right now to examine ourselves. This dear great choir is going to sing. They're going to sing. When I fall on my knees and when they sing that song, I'm going to listen. And they're going to sing a first stanza and a second stanza, a third stanza. And then they're going to come to the close of this song. And when they do, I'm going to get out of my pulpit chair and I'm going to come kneel right here. And when I get up and come kneel right here while they're finishing that song, I want all of us in this room at that time to get on our knees and we bow on our knees and ask the Lord to make us right, make us holy, to make us one and prepare us for the Lord's table. Choir, help us as we prepare our hearts.